Welcome back. This is the Confident Collective podcast, and we are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Christina. We are curb models, content creators, and some would even say comedians.
We started the Confident Collective podcast to help you live your most confident life by sharing our stories and sitting down with experts to talk about, well, life.
We chat sex, dating, business, relationships, and so much more. We hope you love this episode, so let's get into it.
Okay, so Gabe met my parents a couple weekends ago. Mm-hmm. And my parents are so embarrassing. I can't even believe it.
Wait, really?
Like,
also, this is so random. Okay, sorry to interrupt your story real quick. But I told Steve that Gabe was meeting him. He's like, I feel like Rayanne's parents seem really fun. I was like, I know.
Thank you so much. No, yeah. They are fun, but they're fucking crazy. Uh-huh. So we're driving. So the first night, it's just me, Gabe, and my parents. And we're driving to this restaurant for dinner. And I'm like talking to my mom because like, obviously I can't let there be like silence. Mm-hmm. Like that'd be so fucking awkward. I'd rather like throw myself out of the car on the side of the highway. And then there's silence on the way to dinner. So I feel responsible for keeping the conversation going.
As you always do.
So I'm asking my parents shit like I would never ask them. Mom, how's work? Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? But I'm just like nervous, you know? So my mom and I are yapping about this house that my little sister and her husband are looking at, blah, blah, blah. And my dad misses the exit to the restaurant. And I'm like, oh, Dad. He's like, where am I going, you guys? I don't know where I'm going. I'm like, oh, I think it's back there. And he's like, well, you two are yapping. Like, I can't hear the directions. There's music on. He's getting so mad that he can't hear the directions on his GPS. And he's like, I thought you guys had been here before. You don't know where you're going? And I'm like, Dad, I don't even live here. I've been to the restaurant one time. Mm-hmm. You guys have been here multiple times. Like, you have it in your GPS. Like, what's the problem? So he's yelling at me. I'm yelling at my mom. My mom's yelling at my dad. And Gabe is just sitting in the backseat of the car. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then
did you guys talk about it afterwards? He's like, oh, you guys are all like crazy or no?
No. I was like, oh my God, Gabe. Like, I'm sorry. Like, my family is like just chaotic. And even like ordering, okay? Ordering at the restaurant. My dad has to ask a million questions. And I'm just like, we have been here so many times. I know you ordered the combo plate with the mini chili relleno and the flautas. Like, what are you doing? Like, I know what you're going to order. How did you not know how to get to this restaurant? I don't even know. Anyway, it's just chaos. Like, my dad is trying to order, but he has to ask the waitress, like, a million questions. And he can, like, never understand what the waitress is saying. And I'm like, Dad, do you want water? Do you want anything else? I'm like, and then he's like, no, I don't think I'm going to drink anything. I order mine. He's like, actually, you know, a margarita would sound nice.
Wait,
and then my mom.
Your dad and I are the same person.
And I'm like, it's just like, comes to me for my order. And I'm like, I would like the steak fajitas with a skinny spicy margarita. Mm. Easy. My parents, it's like my mom's putting on her glasses. She's looking at the menu. I'm like, she asked you if we're ready. If you're not ready, then say we need a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So she's just standing there. My mom's like, ugh, I don't think I want anything to drink. Should I get this? Should I get, did we order the mini chili rellenos? I'm like, Mom, I already ordered them. She's like, okay, just want to make sure. Actually, I do want a margarita. It was just like so chaotic. So we did talk about it. I was like, Gabe, I'm sorry. My parents are like chaotic, but I'm also like, was just feeling nervous and
yeah,
I wanted
I
to
feel
go
like
well.
That's like very anxious energy coming from you.
I mean, not in the moment, but I was okay. Just like, ugh. But also my sisters and I joke all the time that our parents are just like chaos. Mm-hmm. It takes them like 20 minutes to do a normal task that would take a normal person like 3 minutes. They're just living in their own little worlds. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, guys, it's not that hard to order.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how it is. If you came to dinner, you'd be like, oh, your parents are fine. But because they're my parents, yeah. I'm like, you guys are annoying the shit out of me.
I do feel like our parents are very opposites.
Our parents are so opposite. So opposite.
Because like everything that you described, like last night I went out to dinner with two friends. They already ate. So I was ordering by myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I want? What do I want? I've never been here. Finally, I was like, eh. I told the waiter, I was like, can you just choose for me? It was like between two things. He's like, sure. And it was like kind of fun because I was like, I like the mystery in it, you know?
Okay.
I mean, but my parents are like very reserved.
Your parents are very reserved.
They're super reserved. And like, although you know what? They fight a lot. But it's like more like my mom like yelling at my dad for doing something.
Yeah.
And to the point where like Nicholas, sometimes he'll call my dad, Chris. Like he'll mimic my mom like yelling at my dad.
Wait, that's actually hilarious.
It's really, really funny.
Oh my God.
Wait, have you met Gabe's parents?
Yeah.
And?
It was good. Mm-hmm. We went to dinner like a couple days after we had met my parents. So I don't know. We're just like on a meeting parents thing.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, it's kind of crazy. We're meeting my parents first and we live in another state. Mm-hmm. But his family just doesn't do as many like like my family's just always doing dinners and always having people over. Like it's like a weekly thing. Mm-hmm. So if we lived there, we would have met them like probably 10 times by
right
now.
Right, right.
So yeah, it went really great. His parents are so nice.
And he has siblings too, right?
Yeah, he has 3 siblings. So it's going well. I've met his sister and now his parents. So it's good. But I was just like laughing about like how chaotic my parents can be. And he was like, no, he's like, your mom is such a vibe. Because like we're on the way to my dad's birthday dinner the same weekend. And my mom, of course, has a roadie. She like never leaves anywhere without a roadie. She has like a Truly in her hand. And Gabe's like, oh my gosh, your mom's like such a vibe. She's like a Truly. She's got like this like tie-dye flannel on that I got her and like these baggy good American jeans.
Okay, I love that.
And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I don't give my mom enough credit. She is a vibe. She's cool. But like, I made her cool, but we'll give it to her. Like, yeah. She is cool.
No,
with
she's
my
cool.
Help.
Your mom's kind of like a badass. Like she's always been like a working woman too. Like I feel like you should give your mom more credit.
I know I should give her more credit.
Also, I do think it's interesting because I'd be curious to hear you. Actually, I kind of have seen it. Like, I feel like you can be bitchy with your family.
I'm so mean to my family. My family yeah. is so mean to each other. We're so hard. Like, that's like our love language is making fun of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I will say, like, I know for me, like, I could be so mean to my mom. So mean. But because you just take things out on the people that you're closest to, and it's like easy to talk like that. Where sometimes people be like, you realize everyone's scared of you, right? And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, your mom's walking on eggshells around you. I'm like,
what do you say to your mom?
I think it's just my tone.
Oh.
Sometimes.
See, to me, I'll be like, Mom, what the fuck are you wearing? That's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen.
Oh, I would never say that to
and
my
then
mom.
I'll hug her and I'll be like, I love you though, even though you're wearing an ugly shirt. And I'm like, oh, my little mom, you're so small and cute and I love you. And then I'll just say something mean to her.
I feel like my mom would more say that to me. Like, what are you wearing?
Yeah, I think she would.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think for me, it's just like, my mom is so helpful, but she could be like, just crowding me. I'm like...
Yeah, your mom is much more hands-on than my mom is. My parents are more like, you guys do you. Like, if you need us, we're here. Like,
yeah.
My parents don't call me. I call them.
My mom, if I don't call her by like 8:30 a.m., I always have a text being like, are you guys okay? How are you guys doing?
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
How often do you talk to your mom?
Like, probably 2 or 3 times a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how often do you talk to your mom?
2 or 3 times a month?
No, you don't. Two or three times a month?
I mean, I'll talk to my sisters more and like, we'll have, like, group family calls. Like, I'll be on the phone, and Tori will be there with, like, my mom and my dad. I talk to her. I'd probably talk to them once a week.
We need to do a poll in the Patreon about how often people talk to their parents because that is crazy to me. I'm pretty sure, like, if my mom didn't hear from me for a full day, she would assume we died.
That's wild. No, I mean, that's once a week. Wow. And I call her. She doesn't fucking call me.
That is—
Mother.
So, did she watch the podcast? Or listen to the podcast?
She better be signed up for the Patreon to watch.
Wait, that's so funny. I wonder if this is an ethnic thing.
I think so.
Because my mom, like, still calls her dad, like, 2 or 3 times a day.
Wow.
And he lives with her sister, who she also probably talks to two or three times a day.
What does your mom do? Just talks to people on the phone?
Like, my grandfather, like, if you leave my aunt's house and you don't call when you get home, like, the phone will not stop ringing to make sure you got home okay.
Wow, I guess my parents just don't give a fuck.
anyway. Maybe my family's just fucking crazy.
We're all a little crazy.
Maybe a little
bit. The moral
of
the story is we're all a little crazy.
Definitely. Okay. I am so excited because I am going to Florida this weekend with my girlfriends.
So fun. This weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I know. So I have a group of friends that we all studied abroad together in Florence, and they're probably like my closest friends from college. Like, we have a group chat. We talk every single day. We've been trying to plan a trip for so long, but there's 10 of us. Like, a trip for 10 people is hard. Also, I would say more than half of us now have kids. So, like, it's just complicated, you know?
Yeah.
So we've been trying to do all these things. We were, like, supposed to go on this big trip in January. Nothing ever happened. And then finally, we're like, let's just do something. And the way it was booked within, like, a couple days. And what I realized about it is that it only takes, like, 2 or 3 people to commit.
And then everyone's like...
And then everyone's in. Like, it started with, like, only 4 of us going, maybe 5, and now, like, all 10 of us are going.
Are you going to Miami?
No, we're going to Sarasota, which is really random.
Wait, why'd you pick Sarasota?
I have no idea. Someone just said that. They were like, oh, the beaches there are amazing. And we're like, okay. And then I just found an awesome Airbnb.
Perfect.
And it just happened. So I'm so excited.
That'll be so much fun.
Oh, my gosh, it's going to be so fun. Like, the trip finally left the group chat, you know?
So these are all the study abroad girls.
Yeah. You know some of them. You've met... Well, you know Mariana for sure.
Yeah. Oh, she's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so good. Like, I just cannot wait.
That's going to be amazing.
I know.
A little girls' weekend to Florida. What are you guys going to do? Just beach it, relax.
Beach it, relax.
Sleep.
Drink. party.
I was like, what's the vibe? Like relaxation or party vibe?
Probably both.
A little bit of both.
I would say both. Yeah.
We like a good balance.
Yeah. But this is the group that we get really crazy.
Yeah. So it's like you'll come back more tired from your vacation.
Probably. Yeah, I'll probably need a trip after that.
It was like, is it going to be a restful weekend or not restful?
To be determined. It will be so fun, though.
That's going to be so much fun. I love a good girls trip. Ugh, I love a girls trip. When everyone commits, it's so good.
So good.
Wait.
What?
Okay, this actually brings me to my obsessed.
Okay.
And it's different than what I was going to do before.
Okay.
There has been so much discourse around bachelorette parties recently and like what is asking too much. Mm. And this kind of reminds me of like girls trip. Mm-hmm. Like there's just been a lot of conversations on TikTok of like, you should not be throwing big like destination bachelorette parties. It's like way too much. And it's unfair to basically the people you're asking to go.
Yeah.
And it is interesting, but I feel like now more than ever, everyone's friends are in different places, like who you would invite to a bachelorette. Because it would be like, oh, yeah, we used to just like go on a night out, right? But that's like,
that's actually very, very true. You're totally right. Bachelorette parties used to just be like one night out.
Yes.
Now it's like at least like a mini weekend.
But I do feel like it's because now like more friend groups are more spread out than ever because like everyone I would invite is literally in like five different cities.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, oh my gosh, if I was going to ask people to go for a night out and like come somewhere, it's like, oh, we may as well make it a weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from. But how do you feel about these like big bachelorettes of people asking people to do like a weekend away and this spend thousands of dollars on a bachelorette?
Oh, I think it's tough. I think it really just depends on your own personal situation, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, because for me, there's been some that I've had to just turn down because, like, financially, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't make sense. I'm like, especially when I was living in LA and all my friends were, like, out in New Jersey or, like, the ones that are getting married and doing a bachelorette somewhere else. I'm like, I have to fly to both destinations.
To the wedding and the bachelorette.
And to the bachelorette. And, like, I can't do both. So, like, would you rather have me at your bachelorette or your wedding?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to have, like, those conversations with people. And maybe my situation was unique. But I guess with what you're saying is, like, people would probably be flying to places for both.
For no matter what.
But then sometimes I'm like, oh, you sometimes just need a good excuse to go out.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I sometimes think, like,
God, I feel like you're planning your bachelorette party right now.
Guys, I don't know how to tell you this. I know it's only been 3 months, but But I do think that like we need to prioritize like our girl time and doing things with our friends. And sometimes these things give us an excuse to do that.
I agree with that.
But then I think where it gets complicated is then it's like, oh, you feel like it's not just a girl's trip for everybody. It's like, oh, Rand's fucking birthday trip again, or Rand's bachelorette. That's when you feel like you're doing it for someone, not like with someone.
Right. And then it's also the pressure of, are you paying for the bride for everything too? Because it's just like added finances.
That's a weird thing I didn't also realize about that people do.
Yeah. Wait, you don't think that people do that?
I've never been on a bachelorette where we pay for the bride, but I've only been on two bachelorettes. Three.
I'm trying to think about the ones.
And we just split everything equally between everyone.
You know what? Now I honestly don't. No, I think that, like, the ones I've been on, we at least, like, cover accommodations.
For the bride?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's a little crazy.
Like, if we're doing an Airbnb, like, if it's, like, seven people, but the bride's one of the seven, we would, like, split it six ways. I don't know if I made
that.
Oh,
my God. I think that's a little crazy.
But, well, that's what I'm saying. It can get really expensive.
Because, like, even
and
when
then,
I—
And then, like, do you pay for them for every meal, too? No, right?
No, see, that's crazy. Because, like, even when I asked people, like, my last birthday in LA, like, I just invited people and, like, I paid for it. Because I'm like, you guys are coming here. Like, I don't want you guys to—you know what I mean?
I do think that this is something—and I think we might have had this conversation before that's very different between, like, Americans and Europeans. I forget where I saw this, like, discourse. Maybe it was on TikTok, comment roll.
Probably.
But whenever we go to Greece, right, and I think so clearly of this, because my cousin Stefano's birthday— is in the end of July. So whenever we're there, we celebrate his birthday. And he always takes everyone out for his birthday. And we're always, like, trying to buy him drinks or do something. He's like, no, no, it's, like, my birthday. I got it. Where I feel like here, it's, like, almost expected for your friends to take you out for your birthday.
Yes, I agree.
And I do feel like that was how it used to be. But now that I'm older, I feel like for my past couple birthdays, we've just always handled it, you know? Because people are coming to celebrate you.
Right.
Oh, like, this is confusing.
I know, it's hard. It's
this
really
is something
hard.
Else I would, like, love to know what people think about it.
Yeah.
Because also then, if it's your birthday, like people are coming to celebrate. Maybe it's way more expensive for you to cover the bill for everyone than for people to like split your extra seat. Like I kind of feel like that's like, I don't think that you need to feel like you have to cover everyone for your birthday.
Yeah.
Like, what if you can't afford that, but you still want to celebrate with your friends and do something?
True.
Like, why can't everyone just, like, go out to dinner and, like, yeah, have a cake for your birthday?
Yeah.
I don't think, like, you have to feel like you're taking your friends out for your birthday.
Yeah, but then also people will be like, oh, my God, I have to go out and spend $100 on dinner for someone's birthday. Like, it is just a slippery slope.
Yeah. But isn't that, like, something you get to do?
No, people don't think like that, I don't think.
Oh, this is challenging.
Yeah.
Okay, I have something that I'm obsessed with. So I started listening to the Nick Viall podcast.
Oh, how is it?
I think it's really good. I only listen to the episodes that, because he does like 3 or 4 episodes a week.
What?
I know. I only listen to the ones that are the reality recap episodes because obviously, like, I just love reality commentary. But I also find it fascinating. So, like, when I used to do reality commentary podcasts, I used to host a podcast about The Bachelor. So we used to have him on all the time. And also, like, by the way, like,
we used to have Nick Viall on all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is so much hotter in person, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he is someone who I always was like, I don't get it. I do not get it. And then you meet him in person, you're like, I get it.
You're like, oh, I see.
I see. I get it, because he's hot. First of all, he's like 6'4", like true 6'4".
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's 6'4", just has a presence.
Okay.
He's hot in person. Okay. Anyways, and I like his fiance and like their baby's cute. Meanwhile, I forget like why this came up on his episode. Oh, but they were talking about Summer House, and a couple in Summer House, Lindsay and Carl, were engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then their wedding, I think, was like in a month or two. And then he ended up calling off the wedding on camera. Like, the show was done filming. He called up the producers, had them come back to film their breakup. So everyone was like, what the fuck? Carl is like such an asshole, blah, blah, blah. Now the episodes are coming out and they're reliving their last summer together. And they are just so toxic with each other. And pretty much, she is just criticizing everything that he does. And I definitely think he has, like, so many faults. Like, there's something really sus with him. I don't know. He kind of scares me. Like, she's, like, a crazy bitch. But there's something weird with him, too.
Okay.
And so Nick Viall went into this whole thing about how bad it is when, like, you criticize your partner. And he's like, this is, like, a spiral that I don't think that many women realize they are doing. And I, whenever, like, Steve and I have fought, that is a critique I get. Like,
is that you criticize Steve?
Criticizing.
Okay.
And I do feel like this is a very common thread that women do to their partners, and they don't even realize they are doing it. And he went onto this whole thread. I'm going to link it in the show notes, because I think if you have a partner and you guys are arguing at all, it is very valuable to hear a man's perspective on this issue, especially in, like, their relationship. Lindsay and Carl, he never wants to sleep with her anymore. We get a lot of questions where, like, my husband doesn't want to, like, sleep with me.
Mm.
And I've never thought about that. But he was like, he doesn't want to sleep with you because you are putting him down all the time. Like, that is so unattractive. And anyways, I just thought, I was like, as a woman, hearing a man's perspective on this issue was, like, fascinating to me.
Interesting.
Because I think we live in our, like, female bubble. Yeah. And I think it's so easy to, like, watch things that, like, reiterate, like, what you're already thinking, right? Mm-hmm. I just feel like the internet, honestly, like, hates on men a lot, at least my side of the internet. So it's just interesting hearing, like, a man's perspective for, like, how women treat them.
Mm-hmm.
Is all I have to say.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, yeah, there's a scale, a spectrum of, like, yes, we live in a misogynistic, mostly male-dominated system, right? So yeah. There's going to be that to take into consideration. But at the end of the day, if you're in a relationship with a man, you want to be in a healthy relationship exactly. with a man. So if you are choosing to be with a man, then you need to hear
their perspective
of a man.
Exactly.
So I think it's so easy to get into that criticism. Like, I was actually with a married friend, couple of mine, and she was kind of teasing in a way, criticizing him for, like, different things, literally just tiny things like, oh, like, what are you wearing? What are you doing? Where are you going? We don't need that. And I was just kind of like, oh, like, I kind of felt like a little bad for him.
That's not right.
You know?
Yes. So, and she probably doesn't even realize.
No, I don't think she does. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to listen to that and see what his take is.
Yeah. I'll have to figure out exactly what episode it is and link it. And I will say what I think he does well is that he very much admits that so many men can be assholes. And the reason you're probably criticizing him is because of other things he's done. But there's, like, just a cause and effect, you know?
Yeah. We could do a whole episode on this. Right. Because I do feel like sometimes men, you know, if they can't fucking put a dish in the dishwasher, how do you tell them that? You know what I mean?
Right.
And then I think it gets into a spiral where then you are critiquing every single thing, but it stems
from something. But it's like, you fucking can't, like, load the dishwasher properly. Like, right. I get how that happens. I get happens. It. Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, that, we could do a whole episode talking
maybe
about
maybe we need to do a whole episode on that.
Because then it's hard. It's like, of course you're critiquing, like, if they can't fucking do shit. You know what I mean? But actually, someone I follow on TikTok, she talked about how her and her partner started going to couples therapy at the beginning of their relationship. Mm. And she was like, it was a game changer because we went when we were in a healthy place. And it set the foundation out of, like, how to establish healthy habits and, like, create those throughout the relationship. And I just thought that was really interesting because I've never heard of anyone do that. Like, always people go to therapy for, like, when shit's hitting the fan.
Totally.
And you kind of have to rework all of those patterns that you've set. But, like, if you get ahead of it.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like that is very forward thinking in a way.
It is very forward thinking.
But almost, like, don't believe it. I don't believe, like, the proactive therapy as much as I feel like there was probably something that brought them to therapy versus just being like, you know what? We are so in love and everything is so perfect. We just want to make sure that we continue being perfect. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I kind of see, like, that's why couples go to, like, marriage counseling before they get married.
Hmm. Do they?
Go to marriage counseling before they get married?
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So many couples do. Maybe really? That's more in, like, the religious.
Is that a religious thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have heard
so
about
that. So
many
couples do that. Yeah.
Oh, that's – okay. Well, I actually – I guess when you look at it that way, beneficial – why doesn't the Greek church do that?
Yeah, interesting.
The Greek church is so damn strict with certain things and they don't make you do marriage counseling?
Yeah, wow. They're really, like, lax on the marriage counseling.
Interesting. Or maybe they do and I just don't know. Maybe we just skipped
that. You missed that memo.
I thought a lot of marriage counseling had to do with finances.
I've never been, so I can't tell you exactly what it's about.
Okay, someone report back to us.
Report back.
Okay, should we get into today's episode?
Let's get into it.
So today, we are unpacking being the big girl in the friend group. I'm 5'10". I'm, like, over 220 pounds, okay? Like, I feel like I have been the big friend, like, all my life.
Yeah.
And honestly, my weight has fluctuated so much, so it's not, like, to be the big girl in the friend group, you're this size or not, or this height or not. Like, it's just a feeling, honestly, too.
Yeah, I feel like if you've experienced it, you know. You're like, oh, that's me.
You know, and I do think that this is just, like, a universal experience.
Yeah.
And a universal feeling, and, like, there are things from my past that have made me feel so insecure being the bigger girl. And I do feel like very much on the outside of that and, like, not caring at all about my size in relation to my friends at all. And I feel like once you can get past that, it is so freeing and liberating. So we're kind of just going to unpack that today.
Yeah. And it's, like, interesting because obviously I'm 5'11". 200 and I don't even know how much I weigh.
Yeah.
Probably like 220 pounds. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. But I have had the exact same experience where, like, I just knew growing up, like, I was the big one in the friend group. And it's funny because sometimes I don't think we even, like, realize it until it's kind of, like, pointed out to us in, like, different scenarios as we're, like, experiencing different things in school or within the family. And it's like, oh, like, you know when you don't know there's something and then someone points it out and you're like, oh, I didn't even know that was something I need to worry about.
Exactly. And I feel so strongly that insecurities are learned.
Yes. That's what I was trying to say with that long-winded
sentence. No, that makes sense, though. I do really think that's true. And I feel like that is very reflective, like, of how I grew up. And there's so many specific situations. Like, I didn't even write this down, but, like, thinking about Girl Scouts – growing up, right? Like, I was a brownie and a daisy, and, like, we had the t-shirts and the vests and then, like, the dance performances. And, like, having to, like, say your size out loud when everyone else is, like, a small. And you're like, I need the extra large. That is something that, like, at a very young age just makes you feel different and makes you feel targeted in a way.
Yeah.
Even if no one has a reaction to it. I don't know why that felt, like, so difficult growing up.
Yeah, like writing down your t-shirt size for whatever it might have been.
Not wanting anyone to see what size you're wearing, you know? I know for me, like, I just heard it so much in, like, my home, my church. It's like, you don't want to be, like, a pretty face. Like, you need to, like, do something about your weight. Like, that was just always voiced. That, like, it still, like, kind of was ingrained. It was just ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just voiced to me. It was voiced to so many people I knew around me.
Right. And for me, I don't think it was more, like, because I was looking back trying to think of, like, okay, growing up, what was that like? What were those examples of, like, when I started to become aware, like, oh my gosh, I'm, like, the big girl here. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, like, well, number one, a few comments from my parents. And then, like, probably in elementary school. But like being in elementary school, and I think I might have shared this story like years ago on the podcast, but like I went to this girl's birthday party and we were so excited because Stacy's mom got us a hotel room mm-hmm. in a nice hotel that had a pool. Mm-hmm. So we were all like swimming and having fun for Stacy's birthday. And one of the girls like pointed out that like, oh my gosh, Ryan, like your thighs look like the Michelin tire man in that swimsuit. And I was like having the time of my life. I was like, we were playing mermaids. I was having so much fun. And that comment from that girl kind of set into motion, like, oh, being aware of my body in a way like I wasn't before. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm 30 years old and I still remember it. It's kind of crazy.
No, you know, it's funny that you say about the pool situation, because I used to go to this place called the Clark Pool growing up. And I just was like never in with the cool kids there.
At the Clark Pool?
Yeah, I just, like, wasn't. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But, like, I was always just, like, I don't know. I just was always kind of embarrassed. And I remember so vividly, like, someone joking around about, like, there's a diving board and, like, us trying to do dives and, like, being like, oh, she's going to belly flop. Like, that sort of feeling.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
Yeah. Don't you hate that for me?
Oh, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're already vulnerable in your swimsuit. And then it's, like.
Exactly. No. And I have, like, such a vivid, vivid memory of a friend who was just so much thinner, always complaining about her body and like being, oh my gosh, I look so fat today. Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. And it's like when you hear that over and over again, even if it's not directed to you, it feels like such a targeted dig.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it has literally nothing to do about you. Like this person could be so in their own world, not even like looking at you or caring about your size. It's just a reflection of their own personal insecurities.
But then you can't help but
think. You can't help it. Okay, if she thinks she's fat, like, what does she think of me, you mm-hmm. know? So I think that, like, all of these experiences just start to, like, weigh on you.
Yeah. And I remember going to my best friend. I actually wasn't with the cool kids in elementary school. I don't know how. But, like, I was friends with the most popular girl. Okay? I won't say her name, but she was not very nice. But she was, like, very skinny, very small. But we were, like, a duo. Like, we always hung out, blah, blah, blah. And we were doing, like, a talent show for one of our classes, okay? And she was insisted that we go to Limited 2 to get matching outfits. Or Limited 2, and I think we went to Abercrombie or Hollister. One of the Abercrombie or Hollister, I can't remember. And I remember being in the dressing room, and I'm like, it was in Hollister, Abercrombie. The Limited 2, I don't know what happened there, but, like, I was like, I do not fit in these clothes. Like, trying on, I remember these, like, little khaki shorts and, like, a white lace, like, cami. And it just was, like, so tight on me. And I was like, I do not fit in these. And I could tell she was just like, well, what the fuck are we going to wear for the talent show? Like, you can't fit into the clothes for the talent show.
That makes me mad.
Like, you know the movie, like, The Click? Have you ever seen that?
I haven't.
Oh, my God.
But I can, like, envision this whole scene. But that makes me sad because it's, like, you're already insecure and, like, feeling down on yourself.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, treating you poorly because of it as well.
Yeah. And then, like, don't even get me into the fact that, like, my mom would not want to buy me clothes from there because they're so expensive. Mm. Anyway, that feeling was just, like, oh, my God.
No, I do think that's, like, honestly a very important feeling because growing up, like, going to the mall and, like, doing stuff like that with your friends, that's something that's so common.
Yeah.
And, like, an enjoyable experience, whether you're just, like, window shopping or actually, like, buying something. But not being able to shop at the same stores as your friends or, mm-hmm. like, share clothes with your friends, I feel like that was a big one for me, too. Like, not being able to share clothes. Like, especially, honestly, with my sister. My sister was always so much thinner than me growing up. Mm. Still is. And, like, she could wear some of my stuff.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, bigger. But I could never, like, go into her closet and share things. And, like, I hated that feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just surprised she let you even share. If I went into my sister's closet, I'd be dead.
Oh, no, no.
Are you joking me?
We used to fight about that all the time.
Oh, my God.
She would never even let me try and share anyway. So that is a good point.
We need to do a whole other episode on, like, sibling rivalry because
oh my gosh,
that was terrifying. Terrifying.
Wait, did you guys have common things, like, that you would say to each other? Like, for me, like, my sister and I used to fight so dirty. When we'd verbally fight, like, her think to me, be like, you're fat. And I'd be like, well, you're dumb. Like, that would be, like, what we would say to each other. It was so messed up.
I mean, I don't remember us ever calling each other, like, fat or anything like that. Because Justine's really the only skinny one. Tori and I have, like, a very similar build. Mm-hmm. Justine's a skinny one. And then Tori and I are the same. So we didn't really throw those around.
Yeah.
Because we were both fat, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Justine was too young.
The sad thing is my sister's, like, so smart. I am so fat.
She is. She's
kind of right.
You're dumb. Too bad she's literally a genius.
She's so fucking smart.
She's a genius.
Oh, my gosh. But that shopping situation, like, I vividly remember prom dress shopping. being like the most miserable experience of my life because all of my friends had their prom dresses. They were all so excited. They went to like one store and found it. And it was like so cute and probably affordable because they were able to shop in like junior prom dresses or something like that. I went to every possible store like multiple times a week for like a month straight. Could not find anything that fit me. The only things that fit me were like mother of the bride outfits, which literally mothers of the bride should not be allowed to wear. They're so ugly.
Yeah,
like, they're like lit for like 90-year-old women. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is so embarrassing. So when the only thing that fits you are like ugly outfits meant for people that are like five times your age, it's so defeating. Then my mom took me to New York City and we went to Saks and got a dress because it fit me. And it was like way too much money. Like, we probably couldn't afford to spend it, but she was just so sad for me. And hearing me cry in the dressing room over and over and over again, that like she would at that point would have done anything to make me happy.
She was like, I'll pay anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember shopping for my prom dress.
You don't?
I don't really remember, no. I do remember going to Cherry Hill, and we did spend more on it because, again, it was like I had limited options that would fit me in my size. But I remember one time I was at Nordstrom, and I was trying on this cardigan, and it was like a chunky, oversized cardigan. And the sales associate was like, oh, wow, that actually looks good on you. That normally wouldn't look good with someone with your body type.
Ew, I hate her.
And I was literally like, I just thought the sweater was fucking cute and I wanted to try it on, you know? And then it was like in my head, like, oh my gosh, should I not be wearing like chunky oversized clothing? Like, and it was just like that one comment completely was like, okay, well,
yeah,
great. That made shopping so fun for me. Maybe that's why I hate shopping in person though.
That's interesting. I honestly feel like since I was a personal stylist and shopper for so long, I literally felt like my job was a dressing room therapist. And like, I took so much pride in making people feel so confident in their bodies while they're in the fitting room with me.
Yeah.
So that pisses me off for that Nordstrom. That is not the Nordstrom customer service.
No.
It really is
not.
That is
not.
We got to call Pete Nordstrom.
Literally. Tell him what's going on. But I feel like that like experience you were just saying, like they don't do that anymore. Like Nordstrom nowhere has that like super personalized experience like we used to.
Really?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't know. Last time I was at Nordstrom, I was like, where's the associates?
You're like, I'm like, hello. Someone, anyone, help me.
I think I saw a tumbleweed coming through the store.
Wow. Disappointing. I'm very disappointed.
Oh my God. And also, so like one time growing up, my dad was like, I was so upset because, of course, I felt like no guys liked me in high school.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I'm on the fence if they did, if they didn't. But, like, everyone wanted my friend Mallory. And I'm sorry. I was so much cooler and more fun.
Okay, like, I'm sorry. How come you're going to say this girl's name and not the other girl's name? This is a way better story. You're like, Mallory was lame as fuck, but everyone liked her. But the other girl you just said was thin. I'm confused.
Okay, I got to really come up with like a code of conduct on here because
all right, we need to call HR, like something feels inappropriate.
What if that wasn't her real name?
I think it was. I think it was.
Anyway, this girl in high school, she did me dirty, so I don't even care. And in high school,
fuck Mallory, you know, dumb bitch.
You know to be a nicer person in high school. Okay, so she, honestly, I was way cooler, way maybe I'm the problem. Definitely. Sitting here saying how cool and funny I am. Wow. Anyway, all of the guys liked her, and she was skinny and she was blonde, okay? And I was like, I'm exhausted. So one day I was like crying because I was like, Dad, no guys like me, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm never gonna have a boyfriend. My dad was like, Ran, you're an Amazon woman. You're an Amazonian woman. You're just big. You just need to be an Amazonian woman. And I'm just like, Dad, that's not helping. Yeah. I know I'm big. And now, like, looking back, though, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm an Amazonian woman. But, like, I just felt, like, so big, like, in every situation, especially, I feel like, in high school is when I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I definitely felt it in high school, but in college, too, because I was always the only girl in the friend group that didn't have a boyfriend that I just couldn't help but feel like at that time, because I do think guys liked me. I think they were embarrassed to like me.
Oh, honestly. You think guys were embarrassed to like you?
Kind of.
See, and I think guys liked me, but I was just so self-conscious. It was like,
I think it's kind of both, actually.
Probably both.
I think it's probably both.
Yeah.
I do think it's both. But no, my dad never was like, you're an Amazonian. My dad was like, I will pay you $1,000 to lose weight. No, like, I'm not kidding.
But your dad offered you $1,000?
Yes. Yes.
Literally.
Your dad looked at you and said, Christina, yes! If you lose weight, I will give you a
He was like,
damn, I wish my parents would have done that.
He was trying to encourage me.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm just needing that to sink in for a moment.
The wild thing is like, I'm way bigger now than I was then. So I'm about to be like, yo, $5,000, daddy. Oh, let's go. Like,
I'd like to revisit that deal you struck me about 10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. No, literally.
Wow.
Yes. My parents were fucked up when it came to weight shit. They were. I'll tell it to their face. I don't even care. They said I can't curse. You were fucked up.
The only thing my dad told me once was like, I called us little piggies. He was like, oh, you're going to eat more? Like little piggies? I'm like, boink, which I honestly think is like,
I don't know why your dad, being like such a big dude, being like, oink, 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 oink.
No, literally. But like, it's even traumatizing for me to say. I don't think I've worked through it quite like you have. Oh my God.
Wait, not only that, one time I did lose a lot of weight because I graduated from college. I was always bigger. But then in college, I put on more weight.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of us do that. And then I decided after college, I want to become a supermodel.
You're like, I'm at my heaviest. Now is the time.
No, literally. So I became like so obsessed with like the gym and like eating clean. And this is like when I met Steve at the time too. And like he was literally
a bodybuilder.
Like this is just what he did. So like for me, like he just got me into that. And it was like exciting and fun. Like,
yeah.
So at one point I lost so much weight. My dad was like, oh, gosh, you're so small hugging you now. He used to be like hugging a linebacker.
He said
yes. But like honestly, like I can say it like laughing because like I guess like he didn't mean to be mean about it.
He used to be like, okay. But you know what's crazy? What? Like going back to when we were in high school,
yeah,
like we were probably small.
Are you kidding me? I look at photos now and I'm like, I'm sorry.
Like why were my parents so stressed out? You know what I mean?
But you know what's weird is that like I look at photos now and I'm like, wow, you were like thin, like, or like you were not as big as you thought you were.
Yeah.
But then like I think about the prom dress. And I wore my prom dress a couple years ago to a friend's wedding.
Oh, really?
Like, it was like a size 14 or 16. So, like, I'm a little confused.
What's happening here?
I'm just confused.
I'm confused. That is confusing. Wow. I mean, one time my ex-boyfriend was over for Thanksgiving, and he was giving me a piggyback ride. And my little grandpa, freaking rip, he was like, whoa, careful. She's going to break your back. And I'm like, thank you, Grandpa.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
My papu still will comment on someone's body the second they walk in. He'll tell my cousin, like, oh, my gosh, your, like, thighs got big.
Papu's savage.
Papu's so savage. And that's why I'm like, I can't feel bad because this is where my mom got it from. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a system.
Yeah. And my mom, like, you guys have probably all seen the photo of my mom as a baby.
Oh, yeah.
My mom was, like, apparently, according to the Greek record, 16 pounds when she was born. Which I will say, this is a tiny village on an island in Greece.
Like how
we don't know how accurate the records are, okay?
Well, that photo did help her case.
But that photo was insane.
She's the biggest baby I've ever seen.
She was like 3 months and as big as like my aunt who's 3 years old. My mom's like so petite. My mom will still be like, I'm still losing my baby fat. She's like 66 years old, still trying to work it off. I'm like, oh my God, okay.
Oh my
God. So anyways, clearly we have a lot of trauma.
I feel like you have a little more than I do.
Yeah, but I really do feel like I've worked past it. I honestly, like, feel really good.
Good.
Okay, so let's talk about how to work past this.
Yes. Joke about it.
Step one. Be the funny fat friend.
Okay? Yeah. Be thankful that you had to work for your sense of humor.
Yeah. But there is a difference between people, like, actually trying to hurt you. And I think that maybe not as a parent, too. Being a parent is so hard.
Yeah.
Being a parent is so hard. And I really do believe that everyone's just trying to do their best. I believe my parents were trying to do their best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's okay to be like, you cannot say those things and draw boundaries. And I think it takes a lot of work to get to that point. But also know that, like, in their own twisted way, I do think your parents are trying to love you and they're trying to do the best. And, like, they are living from what they have learned and has been taught to them.
Yeah.
So I think acknowledging that they're flawed as well is okay.
Yeah. And like sometimes I do think, like, it depends on the relationship with your parents, but like, mom, you used to say some fucked up stuff to me. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be like, we need to sit down and have this conversation.
Totally.
You know, like, I think kind of joking a little bit about it helps. And it's going to be like a longer process. Like Emma on the podcast last week was saying how finally, after like kind of years of conversations, her mom has been like, wow, I'm sorry. That was messed up. It's not going to just be like one conversation.
Yeah.
And I think too, one thing that just helped me, like that comment from my dad of being an Amazonian woman. Now I'm like, yeah, I'm an Amazonian woman. I think it's really changing your mindset around it. Mm-hmm. Like, I am a tall, big person. And I love that about, I'm like, I need to embrace that. When I walk into places, I'm like, I'm tall. People are staring at me because I'm a tall, gorgeous Amazonian woman. Mm-hmm. It's just changing your mindset around it of being like, fuck yes, from wanting to hide yourself and make yourself smaller.
100%. And I will say, obviously, like, I just ragged on my family a lot. But at the same time, like, my dad, who, like, at one point was like, oh, let's create a game. I'll give you $1,000 if you could lose, like, blah, 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 weight. Like, also growing up literally made me feel like I could be the president of the United States if I wanted to, or that, like, I could be on the cover of Vogue if I wanted to. Like, I always had that confidence, like, instilled besides, like, any body insecurities. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I still did feel like I was built up in many ways.
Yeah.
So I do think that there are positives, and, like, sometimes those outweigh the negatives of what people say. I really do think a huge, huge turning point, and I know we talk about this a bunch, was the whole body positive movement. Seeing women like Ashley Graham and Paloma and, like, all these, like, curve models. And then just people like you and I, like, putting themselves out there and, like, talking about their bodies and, like, showing up so beautifully, so cool, so fashionably in all different sizes, I honestly think really, really changed my perspective on, like, what is beautiful and how I should talk to myself.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And I think, too, if you're hanging out with friends who are always tearing themselves down and complaining about, like, being fat or how they hate their body, like, you can also do the exact same thing you're doing on social media in your real life. Like, try and surround yourself with people who are also on that journey of loving themselves. And one of the things that's helped me so much with my height is having tall friends too.
Yeah.
I love having tall friends. Like, it has made me appreciate my height and my size so much more. So surround yourself with other people who are like you too in real life, not just on social.
Yeah, I do think even, like, having friends that have, like, similar body types or, like, sizes has been helpful too. But I also don't think that, like, you should base your friendships off of, like, how people look, right? Obviously. But I think that just reminding that, like, you are responsible for how you feel about yourself, and that someone's insecurities shouldn't reflect and cause your own insecurities. And if they are, then, like, you don't need that baggage.
Yeah. And I think, not finding friends based on what they look, but, like, I was at an influencer dinner and I was, like, the biggest girl there. And I was like, guys, this is tragic. I forgot Mega Babe. Oh, crickets. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, if I was on a curvy girl trip, it would be like,
oh, my God. You like, here, I brought three with me and one girl.
You know, it's more just, like, even, like, common ground of experiences and life things that I do think having friends who are similar to your body type, it is kind of that, like, camaraderie in a way that is nice to have sometimes. Someone who just understands, like, growing up the way we did. And, like, that's why a lot of people probably listen to the podcast, because they get that camaraderie. You know what I mean?
Exactly. For sure.
Yeah.
And I think even in your friend groups, like, I don't think that, like, things need to be, like, so deep and, like, personal and vulnerable all the time. But I can say to my group of friends, like, oh, my gosh, my parents used to do this or say this. And I feel like opening up those conversations with your friends, or being like, oh, my gosh, like, I would love to go shopping. Honestly, like, nothing's going to fit me in the mall. So, like, I'm coming to just hang out, or, like, let's go do something else instead. Mm-hmm. I feel like voicing that is important, because I don't think people realize, like, even me and my friend Ashley, like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we started doing those videos, like,
the size thing,
the size videos. And she had no idea how hard it was to find my size.
Mm-hmm.
She just had no idea. And that's nothing on her, but, like, she just has a different experience shopping.
Yeah.
And she started getting so upset for me. She's like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know. So I feel like if you are the bigger friend, like, expressing those feelings to your smaller friends just creates, like, more champions out there for the cause, you know?
One of my favorite things to say too is, like, fake it till you make it. Because I think a lot of times when people ask me about, like, being the bigger friend, it's in relation to, like, we're going out, I'm always the big friend, or we're going on a trip and we're going to be in swimsuits and I'm, like, the big friend on the trip. I don't know why, like, we kind of latch on to these, especially trips and things like that, or events, like, in a wedding, and, like, I'm the biggest one, because there are these, like, monumental events and there's, like, a lot of buildup to it. And so we kind of just put more emphasis on it, right? I literally think you have to go in those situations and just hype yourself up and fake it till you make it. Like, do not feed into those thoughts in your mind. Like, walk into a night out, walk into that trip and be like, I am hot as hell. I look amazing. I have the cutest swimsuits. I have the fucking best vacation outfits. Like, I'm going to have an amazing time on this trip. Like, and even though if you don't believe that in the moment, like, still saying that, like, just fake it till you fucking make it. And you're going to have a better time on that trip or at that event.
100%. And you know why I think people feel so much pressure around events or trips is because they know a lot of photos are going to be taken. Mm. If you're just, like, hanging out and you're, like, at a girlfriend's house or, like, I don't know, going to a bar or whatever, no one's, like, snapping a million photos, like, taking photos of everyone's outfit, this and that. At a wedding, like, with your group of friends, you're doing that. On a trip, you're doing that. And stop hiding yourself. I'm sorry. Like, people know what you look like. It is better to, like, be in the middle of the photo, like, smiling, happy, than just being, like, a floating head in the background.
Yeah.
First of all, you're ruining the photo for everyone else. I'm just going to say it, okay? That shit doesn't look good, okay? Why are you doing that? Like, don't do that to yourself. Yeah. And I think that feeling confident in photos is so freaking important.
Yeah.
And I think it could sound, like, kind of silly, but no, we're all taking photos these days. You want to go to an event and feel your freaking best.
Yeah.
You want to be on a dating profile, feel your best. Like, your LinkedIn, whatever it is.
Just having good photos.
Having good photos will help you feel more confident.
Yeah. Like, when you see a photo of yourself, you're like, oh my God, like, I look amazing. Like, it really helps your confidence. Whereas, like, if you have a photo where you're like, I look like that, like, oh, that's why I think it's all about, like, learning how to pose, the right lighting, all of that. Because you could take one photo 1 second and literally 2 seconds later, took another one, and you can be like your hottest self and your ugliest self. It's like all about those outside things.
100%. Okay. I feel like that covers a lot, right?
I know. Wow.
Gosh, I kind of feel like lately, I've been doing a lot of therapy on the pod.
You really have.
Oh my gosh. In my Patreons, I've been, like, spitting it all out.
Yeah.
Like, this is therapy.
Keeping
for me.
It fucking real.
Keeping it so fucking real.
I love that.
Yeah. And you know how real I'm going to keep it for next week's Patreon?
What's your Patreon episode?
Steve is coming on telling you all the things that drive him crazy about
Wait,
me.
Wait, honestly.
This is Ray's idea. She's like, I really want to see.
I was like, you know what would be a good episode? Steve coming on and telling us everything that you do that annoys him.
And Steve was like,
it's going to be really fun for
Steve
you.
Steve was like, I thought these were supposed to be short episodes.
I don't think 2 hours is going to be enough.
He's like, are you sure?
No, hearing Steve talk about, like, stories of you being a hot mess is honestly one of my favorite things. I can't wait for this episode.
It's going to be so good. Okay, guys.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Love ya.
Bye.